Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Hello, and happy Friday. So thrilled to be here with you, and a special shout out to my friends at Streetscape Magazine, Tom Hannigan, Mary Ellen Renaud. They hosted the Beyond the Best Awards dinner last night on October 18th here in St. Charles County, and we were just so thrilled to have Joe Morton, the founder of Zango, as the keynote speaker. And in the audience, people like Tommy Johnson from Arizona and Tessa Greenspan of St. Louis and so many great friends from all over the region. Over 400 guests were there, and it was just a fantastic night. And I've interviewed Joe in the past on Alive to Thrive, so check out my archives for that program. My guest today is a treat. She has been in St. Charles County for a number of years, but she'll be relocating out of the country. So here's her story, and you're in for a real treat today. Thank you for listening with us.
Hello, and welcome to Alive to Thrive. My guest today is Lynn Klippel, who has had a lifelong love affair with books since she was a child. Her mother was very into reading and learning and helping others, and I found it interesting that Lynn's first job was at the local public library. I love that. That was a place I hung out a lot when I was growing up. And we've known each other probably since 2004 when I first moved to Missouri. And Lynn is a best-selling author, publisher, and a book shepherd. It's an interesting way to describe herself. She helps people put together their books, their plans, their marketing, their publishing, all of it. And I've worked with her. I've taken her classes. She's just an amazing person. Lynn, hello. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Brenda. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I know you've done so many different things, and your business building books has been an interesting combination of internet marketing and publishing, and you've helped people all over the world, haven't you?
I have. I've been really fortunate. I've been able to work with people from every continent except Antarctica, and there's not too many book writers there, just penguins.
And I'm sure that there will be a story from that area at some point, I have no doubt. Well, there's so many things I want to cover with you today. Certainly where you came from, you know, what life was like, what it's like now, and the journey along the way, because you've really hit your stride recently in the last year or two, and you're embarking on some massive projects, but I really want to start back at the early days. You know, we mentioned that you worked at a public library when you were growing up, but you've had some other journeys, between childhood and today in terms of professional studies and what you thought you were going, what kind of career you were going into, and and just overcoming quite a bit personally in your own personal life, and wanted to talk a little bit about that. So let's take us back to, you know, your childhood. Where were you growing up that you worked at that library?
I grew up in Minnesota in a very little town with 1,200 people and no stoplights, so it was a very little town. I grew up on a farm, had wonderful parents, but I really wanted to see the world. I didn't want to stay home and marry a farmer and have the same life that my mother had, although there was nothing wrong with that life. You know, I can cook and bake and sew and do all those good things that farm wives can do, but I just had something that pulled me to see the rest of the world. So I went to school and got a degree in elementary ed and moved to Texas. And then I've kind of lived all up and down the U.S. from almost every state from Minnesota to Texas. And I've done lots of different jobs. I've been a school teacher. I worked for a church. I did a lot of work with adults with developmental disabilities in different group homes through the Midwest. I went back to school and got a master's degree in occupational therapy and worked quite a bit with both adults and with teens, helping them cope with challenges of everyday life. I moved to the St. Louis area with my husband in 1998, and while I was working in St. Louis, I really became interested in the idea of coaching. Coaching was a new profession then, so I started doing some training, and I became trained as a life coach and a career coach, and I started a business doing coaching. This was in 2001, and what was really strange was, if you remember back in 2001, after 9/11, there was a huge shakeup in the economy. Mm-hmm. I was laid off from my corporate job, so I thought, well, that's fine. I'll start this coaching thing. That'll be my work. My husband also lost his job. I was doing career coaching at the time, and I thought he would be a great person to coach. So here I am chasing Larry all over the house, saying, oh, let's practice interviewing, and let me work on your resume. He did not want his wife to be his career coach at all.
That's funny.
You know, we were really fighting a lot, and it was very stressful for our marriage. I noticed that the clients I was working with, almost all of them were white-collar guys who lost their jobs in the tech downturn after 9/11, and they were very worried about their marriages as well. You know, they'd been very good breadwinners, and all of a sudden, they were afraid they'd, you know, become divorced because of the stress from this marriage thing. So I thought, you know, I've got to find a way to figure out how to be a wife of an unemployed guy and be supportive and also cope with the stress, because I just couldn't figure out how to do it. So I went to the library to find a book because, you know, I'm a book person. I think there's always an answer in a book. There wasn't anything there. Yeah. There was nothing on Amazon. There was nothing in the library. So I got the bright idea that I would write a book on how to live with a man who was out of work and keep your sanity and your marriage intact. So I wrote this little book called Secrets to Surviving His Job Loss. And it came out in 2003. I had the fantasy, Brenda. I thought I would be on Oprah, and I would make a bajillion dollars, and I would move to the islands, and, you know, that would be great. Well, I didn't get on Oprah, but I was on TV. I was on the radio quite a bit. I was featured in Working Mother magazine and some other print publications, and a really funny thing happened. I was the same person. I did the same kind of work, but people thought I was hot stuff because I had a book with my name on the cover. Mm-hmm. So I started attracting more paying clients. People were paying me to come and do presentations, whereas before they didn't want me to speak for free. Once I had a book, I could speak and they would pay me. I was like, this was cool. Mm-hmm. So some of my friends who were also coaches were watching and seeing, you know, this is really interesting, Lynn, and they started having me help them do books for their business as well. Well, within a couple of years, I wasn't doing career coaching any longer. I was working exclusively with speakers and coaches and entrepreneurs from all walks of life who wanted to write a nonfiction book and use it to build their business.
Interesting. And so, in fact, that's one of the ways we met as well. But I remember when you were coaching, and that's we met through a professional women's group, ESPW at the time, and that was a fairly new field, and I think your book certainly touched on a niche, and very fascinating about that transition from being a life coach and also that role of how to be the supportive spouse, but then your own inner author that, and marrying that coach and that author together that got manifested in your work is just so fantastic. And I think it also shows how there's divine unfoldment in our lives, and we may not be aware of it at the time, but as we look back in hindsight, we can certainly see how everything was perfectly ordered. But at the time, when we're going through life challenges and crises, we don't really see any purpose to any of the suffering and struggles. But I think it makes those of us that have gone through those kinds of experiences better coaches and better advisors and consultants, because we know the pain. We've been there. We've struggled and we've overcome. But so this is very fascinating, Lynn. You've worked with both men who were laid off from their corporate jobs and speakers who were trying to establish credibility, and now you have this whole book consulting business where you do teleclasses and have participated in those, and you've really taken advantage of technology and all the various ways to communicate your message. And I know you blog, and I know you had a radio show of your own for many years with Sorority Talk Radio that, you know, you provided inspiration and provided stories, and you built community. And I think your voice about building community, and so you're teaching specific skills, but you're creating a safe community for people that are just starting out, first time authors, who I think a lot of first time authors have that grandiosity syndrome that you talked about, that you're going to write a book and suddenly you're going to be on Oprah. And there is so much more to getting your book. You can have the all-time most profound book, but unless you have the marketing and the publishing method and all these other things, that book is going to go nowhere fast. So let's talk a little bit about let's talk about author inspiration, because you certainly wrote your first book from a personal experience of something that had happened to you. Where do other authors get their inspiration for their books?
Well, you know, Brenda, that's a good question. I think that there's a couple of ways. For people who are very in tune with their spirit or their soul or their heart, sometimes they just get an idea, whether it's through meditation or in a dream or just a knowingness, that they have a message to share. And those books are very divinely inspired. There are other people who get great ideas because they see a need that they can help fill, whether that's something related to their profession. For the most part, it is. I believe, really, that every single person has valuable information to share. You just have to kind of figure out, what do you know that people are looking for? And one of the best ways to do that is think about, what questions do people ask you about? What are you kind of known for? Are you somebody that always has a great recipe? Are you somebody that knows the best ways to save time? Are you awesome at budgeting? Are you really great at business planning? You know, look at you, Brenda. You are amazing at planning events and at networking. Whatever you're famous for, that's your sweet spot for writing a book, especially a nonfiction book that can be based on the knowledge and experience you have accumulated through your professional career.
Lynn, I'm sorry. I had a technical issue on my end, if you were wondering what happened to me.
Yeah, there was a little silence there, but I bet you can edit that out.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for sharing those thoughts on inspiration, and I do think that intuition meditation is so key. Julia Cameron was on my program a few weeks ago talking about her methods and her tools for connecting to source, to spirit through morning pages and writing and walking in nature and things like that. But I also think this specific area of, you know, how-to books or seeing a need, looking at even quick little books, e-books, and that's something you've taught a lot about and blogged about. It doesn't have to be a 300, 400-page book. It can be something very short and sweet. And, in fact, it doesn't seem that people's attention span is shorter these days and they want something that they can just get the nuts and bolts in a quick, easy format.
Yes, I think so, especially for how-to books or nonfiction books. We are in a very fast-paced society, and so people now are accustomed to being able to skim and read for information very quickly. So whereas 20 years ago, books were judged by how long they were. You know, if you wanted to really have a book that seemed worthy, you would write lots of pages. Today, the best kind of books get you the information quickly and easily. So you need to walk that fine line between having enough content that the book really does help and serve the readers, but having it be concise and focused so that it's easy and fast for them to get the information.
Fantastic. And you've helped a lot of authors with their publishing, and I know you have a publishing company of your own and have published your books and other people's books. What is involved in setting up a publishing company?
Well, to set up a publishing company, you need to do a few things. First of all, you have to have a business license for wherever you are located in your local city and state, because if you sell books within your city and state, you'll need to collect sales tax. So you have to, you know, get your business established, first of all. Then after that, you register with an agency that monitors all book publishers, and that agency in the U.S. is called Bokers. You fill out some paperwork with them and register yourself as a publishing firm. Then you're able to purchase what's called ISBN numbers, which are similar to a Social Security number, except they're for a book. Each book that's published has this unique ISBN number, which identifies it, and it ties back to the publisher. So if a library wants to order your book, they can go into this big database and type in that ISBN number and find out how to purchase it. So once you have your business established and you have your ISBN numbers, you're officially a publisher, and then it's a matter of lining up the services that you need to publish the book. So you'll need to have a really good editor. You'll need to have a good proofreader, someone who can do the cover design, someone who can do the layout or the internal design of the book, then someone who can do the printing, and finally, you or someone else to help market the book, promote it, and get it out in the media. All of those jobs can be done by freelancers. They don't have to be done by your direct employees. So in my business, I work, I'm my only employee of my business, and I have wonderful freelancers that I work with in a team setting who are all virtual. And I've never met them in person, but we've worked together for a long time and do everything with the beauty of the Internet.
That's fantastic. And, you know, so many times I see artists, whether they're visual artists or authors, trying to do it all, be their own accountant, be their own lawyer, be their own marketing expert. And I always say, you know, focus on what you're good at doing, which is maybe the writing or the creating, and let other experts help you with what they know best. And, you know, I was helping a local author here, and, you know, in just a 2-month period, she's had 3 radio interviews, a television interview, and she'll be in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch this month. And, you know, that's something that she couldn't have accomplished on her own in the 4 or 5 years since she self-published her own book. And so it takes a lot of stress off of a writer to be able to rely on other experts to bring to the table some of those sources. And so your publishing company is it called Semmelsage Publishing?
That was its original name. It's been rebranded to Love Your Life Publishing.
Love Your Life, I apologize. And that is such a catchy, you're a great wordsmith with some of the words you use in your business. So Love Your Life Publishing, and that's something you've demonstrated in your own life with some of the things we're going to be talking about in the program, of how you've constantly reinvented yourself but always have followed your heart and lived from a place of passion and creativity, as well as, you know, that you can do that and help your bottom line. It's not mutually exclusive to be creative and successful at your craft, but also you can be a smart businesswoman and do what you love as well. So talk about some of the book you've helped bring to market. I know you recently had a book birthed, as it were. You're sort of a book midwife. What's your most recent book publishing project?
Oh, I've had so many books going right now. It's really exciting. There's one of the books that I publish is actually launching today. It's called Dance Into Your Power, and it's a wonderful book by an extraordinary author by the name of Maya Beatty. It's her 5th book, and what's really interesting about Dance Into Your Power is that Maya ran away from home when she was 17 with $30 in her pocket and the clothes on her back. And this was in the 70s. And she built an incredible life for herself after leaving kind of an abusive family situation. And over the course of her career, she really learned that, especially for women in a business situation, you have to be able to speak powerfully, not aggressively, but powerfully, and develop what she calls a powerful presence, which is a combination of confidence, belief in yourself, very strong communication skills, both speaking and listening. And once she really learned this information, she was able to really transform her own life as well as help hundreds and hundreds of other women become more powerful in their own mind and in the minds of the people that they interact with. So Dance Into Your Presence is a book that is full of really joyful stories, some harrowing and rather sad ones.
Wow.
But it's such an evolutionary tale of women's wisdom. So
I love that.
I'm proud of it.
Where is she based?
She's in Cincinnati.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she lives in Cincinnati, and her book is just launching on Amazon today. So if you go to Amazon,
wow,
you can go to Dance Into Your Power and see Maya's wonderful book. It's fantastic.
That's excellent. Now, how did she find you?
You know, I met Maya at a conference about 7 years ago. We were standing in line at a Starbucks, and we just clicked right away. You know how sometimes when you meet people,
yeah,
it's like they're your long-lost mm-hmm. sisters? We
yeah.
just had an instant click, and we've stayed friends since then. And she's been telling me, I'm going to write a book, Lynn. She's a professional speaker, so she speaks in story, and she's so fascinating. So finally, you know, I've stayed in touch with her for 7 years. Like, Maya, when are you going to write your book? I want to really, really want to read it. When she decided to tell this story, it all came together very quickly, and I was just honored to publish it. It's such a fantastic
book.
Wow.
Fantastic. Well, those are the kinds of stories I love. And you have published a book that I want to talk about here because it is those kinds of uplifting stories of people that have overcome situations in their life. It's actually very similar to the theme of my show, Alive to Thrive, of people that have had the courage to move through life challenges, have overcome all kinds of adversity to triumph and to navigate from darkness to peace and into a place of abundance. I love it. It's the exact theme of everything I always talk about. And there's 38 different stories. Can you tell us a little bit about Overcomers, Inc.?
Oh, I would love to, Brenda. That book is very near and dear to my heart. Back in 2008 and 2009, I was really in a tough place. My mother and my father and my younger brother all had cancer at the same time. It
oh
was
my goodness.
So difficult. My folks were in Minnesota. My brother was in Montana. I was in Missouri. It was such a sad time. And I was wishing that I had a book to give to my brother to read while he was sitting in chemo. But he wouldn't like any of the books that I wrote because they were all girl books. So I started thinking, I was sitting actually on my front porch in the sunshine in the St. Louis area thinking, you know, I wish there was like a Chicken Soup for the Soul book that was updated a little bit. So I got the idea to put together an inspirational book with my brother in mind of stories that were very uplifting, that you could read one story and it would be like giving you a hug and helping you feel better. So I'm fortunate in that I know a lot of people. So I connected with my network and brought together a group of 38 different authors, all from very different walks of life. There's some from the United States and Canada, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand. There's men, there's women, people of all ages. But what they had in common was all of them faced something extremely difficult, and they were able to come out of the other side of this stronger and wiser and more connected to their purpose in life. So I put those books all I put those stories all together in the Overcomers, Inc. book, and we were blessed enough to be an Amazon bestseller right when the book launched, and that book is still selling very steadily on Amazon. People really like it because it's so uplifting. We've got, like, I don't know, 45 five-star reviews on Amazon, so I'm really proud of that.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations. Can you tell us about a couple of the people in the book, and were these all former clients or friends, or were there some that you only knew through social media? Have you met all the different authors that are in the book?
No, I have not met them all. I wish I had been able to, like, fly to New Zealand and meet some of the ones from over there, but no,
mm-hmm.
they were all people that I met through online methods. There was only one person who was from the St. Louis area that I actually knew and invited her to share her story. It was a former coworker, and I knew she was extremely inspirational and had a fantastic story.
Is that Christine Clausen?
No, that's Frances Thomas.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
So,
there's so many different, and we want to encourage our listeners to go to your website, which is http://overcomersinc.com. And read about the different people that are in this book. They're all there's links to their own websites, so you can learn more about who they are. And these are all the types of guests that I love having on Alive to Thrive. So I'm going to have to read this book and connect to some of these people, because these are all stories that will inspire. And sometimes people want to read the book. Sometimes they want to hear the story. So I like bringing a message through a variety of methods, you know, through spoken word as well as written word, because this is what this world needs today. I mean, we need more of this positive energy, positive messaging, and examples of people that have walked through fire and who continue to bless other people's lives. And one of the things we were talking about before today's program, Lynn and I were talking about how sometimes our greatest challenges in life have turned out to be our greatest blessings. Would you find that to be true, Lynn, for your own life?
Oh, yes. You know, every time I look back on my life and I've had some really difficult situations happen in my life, and looking back now, I can see how it was all for a good purpose, either to get me in the right place at the right time or help me develop courage or help me develop more strength. There's always something that comes to you as a gift when you have a challenging experience. I've just come to the realization that life is really school, and we're here to learn lessons, and sometimes we learn those lessons through moments of joy and happiness, and other times we learn them through tears and sorrow, but we always can learn something that's useful and beneficial from everything that we go through.
I think that is so well put. It is a school. It is all lessons and journeys, and to look at a situation as what does this experience hold for me? What is the lesson here? And, you know, if there's someone causing you a lot of grief, you know, what is it about them that may be a lesson that you need to learn? Is it learning more patience or how not to be reactive or, you know, how not to be judgmental or whatever it is? The people that come into our life, sometimes that irritate us the most become our greatest teachers. And we learn the lesson and then we move on. And if we don't learn the lesson, we just keep attracting that into our lives, don't we? I recently heard someone say you either marry it or you work for it.
Yeah.
But it will come into your life over and over again until you get it. But anyway, you're about to embark on an amazing journey, and I just think this is so exciting. My jaw fell when I read your recent posting about moving out of the country and starting a new life in a new place, and leaving a lot of your material things behind that so many people get attached to their things, but moving more towards a new world of experience. And taking your life in a whole new direction. So can you share with us today where you're moving and what this is all about, this exciting new chapter of your life?
Oh, I would be delighted to, Brenda. You know, last year I turned 50, and on my 50th birthday, I prayed a very dangerous prayer. I prayed that my life would change for the better. My life was pretty good, but there were some things that weren't so hot, you know, like for everyone. Well, mm-hmm. In the course of a year, I've decided to move my business and my family to Ecuador, which is really interesting. I went to Ecuador, in 2008 for the first time on a spiritual retreat, and I really, really fell in love with it. I went back again 2 years ago, and I liked it even more. And I started thinking, you know, Ecuador has been the number one retirement suggestion for those who want to retire internationally for, like, the last 5 years. Maybe when I'm ready to retire, I'll consider Ecuador. Well, you know, I'm not ready to retire by any means yet, but I kept hearing about Ecuador. A good friend of mine was going to move there, so she formed a mastermind group to help her kind of research Ecuador. So I was researching all these things, traveled there again. This summer I thought, you know, I better take my husband, because if I'm thinking about moving there in 3 to 5 years, I better make sure he's on board with this. So my husband and I went to Ecuador this summer, and just to kind of see the country, we went on a real estate tour without the intention of buying anything. But we loved it. We had such a good time. We met some wonderful people on the tour. We didn't like anything that we saw, which was great because we weren't going there with that intention.
Mm-hmm.
But on the last day, we went out to the country. Mm-hmm. The very last piece of property that we looked at, it was ours. It was so strange. I knew in my bones when I set my foot on that place that I wanted to live the rest of my life on that piece of property. I wasn't even standing by my husband. He was up, you know, we were in a group of 30 people. He was somewhere else, and I thought, how can I tell him that I want to live here? This is so outlandish. I can't tell him this. It's crazy. So I didn't say anything, and I wasn't even standing by him. But I said out loud, God, I want this piece of property. I really want this. And I never say things like that. So we get back on the bus, and Larry's like, we need to move there. He felt the same thing. So we went to every cathedral that we possibly could go to, and we sat in silence and prayed because this was such a crazy idea. But by the end of our trip, we had a builder, we had an attorney, we had purchased the property, and we're leaving in three weeks from today.
Wow.
It's happened
so
quickly.
Wow. And so it was a piece of land, and you're designing and building your own home.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. So it's several layers of new adventure. That is incredible. And with the wonderful world of technology and phones and computers and all the things that you are so good at using to their fullest potential, you can live and work anywhere. That is the beauty of having your own business. I love it.
Yeah, I'll even have the same phone number. It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
crazy.
It's amazing.
So you're moving in 3 weeks. So what has it been like to detach from things that you used to think were important, big appliances or big pieces of furniture or just the stuff we accumulate over time? Every American home has so much stuff. And how is the process of detachment going for you?
Well, you know, I was very cavalier at the beginning. And I thought, you know, we can just get rid of everything. It'll be no big deal. But now that I'm in the middle of it, it's just very interesting. We are going to sell almost everything that we have. And we're going to Ecuador with two suitcases apiece, a backpack, and a carry-on. And there's three of us going.
That in itself is radical.
It's wild. And my husband and son and I are each grieving different things. For me, I'm surprised the biggest thing that's bothering me was to let go of my kitchen equipment and my books. I was surprised by that.
I would see definitely, because we get very attached to those of us that love books, because they may be books that, you know, they get inside your psyche. They get inside your soul, and they take on a life of their own. So I can see that that would be very hard.
My husband's kind of sad about all of his computer repair equipment. And my son has a lot of power tools because he likes to do woodworking. And even though we know in our head that when we get to Ecuador, we can replace all the things that we have, it's just weird. It's really strange to let go of them. Of course, I'm storing a few family heirlooms that are precious and all of our family photos. Can't let go of those. But it's just interesting when you're going through your closet and thinking, oh, I remember buying these shoes, and I spent a lot of money on them for this particular event, and they kind of pinched my feet, and I wore them twice, and now they're going to the garage sale. It's just very interesting.
Yep. And it's a blessing that you've had the opportunity to do this out of choice, as you say, instead of a tsunami experience or a Katrina experience where, you know, I cannot imagine, like the folks that I met that survived the Holocaust when I worked in D.C. I mean, every single thing, every single possession they had was taken from them or they had to surrender, willingly leave their house. And here you are going through this process of letting go and detachment. And, you know, I believe we're all spiritual beings having a human experience. So, you know, in essence, you know, I've always said you can't take it with you. And after my car crash in 96 and losing my mother in that crash, there was the Titanic movie had just come out. And it was the TV version before the big Hollywood version. And, you know, those folks had every blessing, every, bit of material wealth that, but didn't save them. All their material things did not save them. In the end, they sank and died in the ocean just like everybody else. And here you are selectively, voluntarily giving your thing away, selling your things, moving on, because you know in your heart that you're supposed to be in this new place. And I'm sure that this new place that you're going to will inspire you in even more significant ways and and more books will be coming from you from this new experience, and the beauty of just being in a new environment will be just amazing. So congratulations to you. I just think that is such a huge achievement. We all can achieve things in our professional life, but to take this on in your personal life, I think, is a testament to your belief in human spirit. You know, and it's just awesome. So do you know any of your new neighbors, or do you know anything about this new community you're moving to?
We know a little bit. You know, we've been there. The city where we're living is called Cuenca, and it's a large city in Ecuador. It's the third largest, and there's about 2,500 expats there from the United States and Canada. So there's a goodly number of people there. We're actually going to be building our house about 30 miles outside of Cuenca, out in the country, looking at a city called Paute. And there's like 15 expats in Paute. So people in Paute aren't really accustomed to having non-Spanish speaking neighbors.
Mm.
So our first job is going to be learning Spanish very well. And just kind of getting back to living in a very rural environment. It's a beautiful place with lots of fresh produce and wonderful fruit.
Mm-hmm.
They grow roses there for export. So, you know, the air smells like flowers, and it's just lovely.
God.
But it's a very different culture. So it'll be interesting to learn about it.
And so you have blogged or written that you're going to be doing some writing retreats there. Have you found a location for the retreats, and when do you think you might start that, in the spring or next fall? Or
I'm hoping that probably next summer would be the best. You know, one of the things that confirmed our decision, when we were in Ecuador, it seemed like we got a postcard from God every day that we were on the right track. After we looked at this property, and I was all shook up because I thought, oh, we have to live there. We went to lunch at this amazing hacienda that's just right over the hill from our piece of land. It's a conference center.
Oh, my God.
It's such a beautiful place, and it would be exactly perfect for writer's retreats. So that was like another thing that was a go. One of the men that we really liked on our tour group bought the lot right next to us. So, you know, we'll have a neighbor that we like right away. And,
that's awesome.
There's some people that we met who live in Cuenca now that we really connected with. They own the piece of property across the road. So
neat.
We sort of know some of our neighbors already.
Very neat. It's sort of like being a pioneer and heading west back in the day. It's just a whole, that frontier exploratory spirit. I love it. It's just really neat. And probably you got that from your ancestors from Minnesota. I'm sure that, you know, there was an ancestor somewhere along the line that was the first to head west and build a little house on the prairie. So when will you, I'm sure this is going to take several months to relocate and get set up. What's it, in the near future, or what should your fans look for in terms of teleclasses? When will you be starting those up again, do you think, or are you just going to wait to announce that?
I'll be starting again in January. I have, I'll probably only take off about 2 weeks to do the move and get settled, and then I'll be back as kind of business as usual. I've got 3 or 4 books in publication now that I'll continue to work on, and I have, in January, people really like to start new projects, so I'll be offering a how-to class on how to write a great book fast. That's one that Brenda took. That'll be coming back around again in January as a live class. And I also have a class on book marketing that will launch again in January. One of the things that I've learned over my years in publishing was that if you don't know how to market a book, it's really difficult to be successful with it, even if you have the most wonderful book in the world. So this year I started teaching some classes on book marketing, and they've been very well received. So I'm going to continue that work as well.
Well, that is key, and it's one of my mantras. And, you know, I have several friends, and as you know, Patrice Billings, who's been writing her fiction book, you know, a lot of authors do want to just, you know, sequester away and write their book, but it is about nowadays getting out as a being a speaker and having having a following on Twitter and Facebook and having a Facebook page and knowing how to do your launch party and how to have affiliations with organizations that have a network of members. And I think publishers, whether you self-publish or go the traditional route with a major publishing house, you know, you need to be able to bring that to the table, because otherwise a great manuscript will just be sort of an exercise for yourself that will maybe not get into the hands of the people that need to see it and benefit by it. So fantastic. Well, I cannot believe you're going to have forward momentum and still be able to do your classes in January, but we'll definitely look for those and promote those on the Facebook page that I have, which is facebook.com/alive2thrive. And we invite people to find Lynn Klippel both on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. What is your Twitter name, Lynn?
Lynn Klippel.
Lynn Klippel. Very easy. And yeah. It's spelled K-L-I-P-P-E-L. And she also has the website for her book, overcomersinc.com, that we mentioned. And Live Your Life Publishing, that also has a website of its own, doesn't it?
It does. You know, if anybody is listening that is at all thinking about writing a book, I have a great free author quick start kit on my website at www.businessbuildingbooks.com. I encourage you to go grab that. There's a really helpful author assessment in there and an ebook about, you know, why it's the right time for you to write your book and some other things that will help you get started, and it's totally free. So that's a good resource in case you've got that writing bug as well.
Well, that's fantastic, and you do give a lot of free resources, and I really encourage everyone to get on Lynn's email list, because she has some great tips and she has great blogs, and you can just glean so much useful information from the things that she shares. And and you know, consider taking a class. I think everybody has a story to tell. We all have had a unique experience with the journey we're on, and we all can learn from each other's stories. So think about what story it is that you need to share, what lessons in life that you've had that someone else can benefit by, and get in touch with Lynn. And we are so thankful for you, Lynn, for being here in Missouri. And I know that wherever you are, we'll be able to find you and stay connected. And on one hand, I'm sad you're going, but I also know that you're only a phone call away. So
thank you
so much. Any closing thoughts?
Oh, I just want to thank you, Brenda, for all the light and love that you bring to the world through your work and through this wonderful radio show, and wish you many, many blessings.
Well, thank you. You've been a delight to have on the show, and definitely stay in touch with us and let us know of your progress. So take care and have a good week, and we'll be back next Friday, 12 noon Central, on Alive to Thrive. Thank you so much.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Are you tired of the abuse? Trying to recover after rape or other sexual violence? Are you worried about a friend or a family member? Safe Connections is here for you in the greater St. Louis metropolitan area. We work to reduce the impact and incidence of domestic violence and sexual assault. Access referrals, resources, and most of all, compassionate support through our 24-hour crisis helpline. No cost. Call us anytime at 314-531-2003. That's 314-531-2003.
Well, that's a wrap for today. My guest on the last Friday of October is Dave Blanchard, the CEO of the Ogmandino Group. And you can check out Ogmandino, ogmandino.com. And Ogmandino wrote many, many books. Most famous might be The Greatest Salesman, which really helped transform my life. So please stay with us next Friday on Alive to Thrive, 12 noon Central, 1 o'clock Eastern. My guest will be Dave Blanchard. Have a great weekend, everyone, and catch you on Facebook at facebook.com/AliveToThrive. Thank you so much.